Today, Watchgate breakthrough thanks to People Power. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today I'm joined by Robbie Barbett from the Citizens Party. Hi, Robbie.
Hi, Martin.
Big week and interesting Aussie post is bubbling along.
Yes. Now, when you and I are twice in the same week, something's going on. And something's certainly gone on here. It's boiled over in this last week, and the headline is, we have achieved a Senate inquiry into the Australia Post fiasco, everything about it. Yesterday, Senator Pauline Hanson went into the chamber and moved for an inquiry, and it passed without any opposition.
So there being no other matters, I will proceed to the discovery of formal business, and it being Thursday, I'll go on the order on the notice paper. So business of the Senate, matter number one, Senator Hanson.
I ask that business of the Senate notice of motion one be taken as a formal motion.
Is there any objection to this motion being taken as formal? There being none, Senator Hanson.
I move the motion.
Question, is that motion be agreed to? Those of that opinion say aye. The contrary, no. The ayes have it.
It always kills me how when it comes to the Senate procedure, the most momentous events are presented in the blandest way, right? Purely parliamentary procedure. So we got Ben here, our producer, to turn it into a actually give some sort of graphics to bring it alive a bit. But nevertheless, that was it. It was the end of an intense upheaval for the last 2 weeks, and a lot of it was to do, well, almost all of it, I can assure you, was to do with the people, the general public getting behind the issue and making phone calls, and especially the charge that came from our discussion on this program on Monday, because people really responded to that. I hope if you're one of Matt Martin's regulars and you watched this and you got involved on Monday, hats off to you. It was really good. I can tell you, it made a huge difference. That video went everywhere, and I mean everywhere, through the corridors of power. People were sharing it all over the place. I was told people were secretly sharing it, right? I say, like, it was contraband. I can't tell you more than that. You can imagine the kind of places where it might have been secretly shared, but it had a huge impact. And yeah, that created the heat that allowed the people in Parliament who had decided this was the right issue to take up and do something about. They did the front part of it, and hats off to Bob Catter and Pauline Hanson. But what Pauline Hanson did on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday this week was quite extraordinary. So now we have a Senate inquiry.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And, you know, kudos to the followers on this channel who picked up the phone, and I got loads of messages both on the chat and privately of people who said, do you know, I've phoned up, and everybody said, are you phoning up about, you know, they already knew what they were going to phone up about. Yeah, and yeah, they had senators phoning them back and you know, wanting to talk about the issue. We created quite a stir. And I just want to underscore again, this is people power in action, right? So anybody who says, oh, it's a waste of time, don't, you know, it's not going to lead anywhere. Folks, this is how change is wrought in a democracy, right? It's those who stand up, those who make a fuss. And on this issue, particularly, Robbie, I think that, as I understand it, the inquiry is not just about the watches. It's a much broader conversation.
Much, much broader. In fact, I want to read the terms of reference out, because they're quite extraordinary in their own right. But just before, let me just reinforce what you just said. Absolutely people power, but informed people power. There's a lot of issues that people rah, rah, rah about. I'll put it to you and to your viewers, when they probably first heard about this, it was one of those typical issues where, some fat cat got caught, you know, splurging money on Cartier watches, good riddance, right? an issue like that in Australian politics, both sides use it. They know it's cheap political theatre. They can point score on it, and people are too gutless to take it on. Now, we didn't take it on because we cared about. We thought it's, you know, the principal is Cartier, you should be able to give Cartier watches. We suspected something else. And once we started digging, we proved our suspicions, and we realized there's a principle at stake here. The truth of the matter, justice for the appalling way Christine Holgate had been treated, but the bigger issue of, hey, this is an institution, Australia Post, that could be run in a good way that keeps it in public hands for the benefit of all Australians as a service. That's what she was committed to, but there's a nefarious agenda to long-term cost cut, downsize, package it up for privatisation. She got in the way of that. And so we're fighting for the way our government should function here, right? And there's this question of principle. And it took it, and people had to concentrate on this issue and wrap their mind around it, right? And inform themselves of why this was a question of principle. And when people do that, when you go to that effort, so you're aware, okay, there's a bigger issue here. And then you see the pathway to intersect members of parliament with that message, right? And it's always effective too, Martin, where there's an element of where people aren't doing this entirely out of self-interest, except the self-interest that we all have a vested interest in our country being run properly, right? But people got behind the LPOs, certainly, the licensed post offices certainly were motivated by self-interest because they knew what a difference she'd made. But the public rightly saw them as the victims here and got behind that, right, because this was a question of the right thing to do. And that message is very hard to combat through the usual cynical political tactics. Politicians did not expect this would ever be an issue, and it's completely blown up in their face. Now, there was some caution expressed about these terms of reference that they might have been too ambitious and therefore not passed on that basis because, you know, gave people more reasons to find something specific in them to oppose. But such was the intensity of the campaign and how much this issue had boiled over that didn't even eventuate. So Pauline got these up. So this is what they say, that the following matter be referred to the Environment and Communications References to Committee for Inquiry and Report by 30 April 2021. The circumstances leading to the direction by the Minister for Communications to the Chair of Australia Post on 22 October 2020 that the Chief Executive Officer of Australia Post, Christine Holgate, be stood down pending an investigation into her gifting in 2018 of watches to four managers who secured a $225 million investment into the organisation, with particular reference to A, if the gift of the watches was with the knowledge of the then Australia Post chair and within existing Australia Post policy, B, how the gifting of four watches compares with bonuses and gifts provided during the term of the previous chief executive officers and within other government-owned corporations, such as the National Broadband Network. C, actions of the board of Australia Post following Ms. Holgate's offer of resignation on 2 November 2020, leading up to the chair's request for her to sign an amendment to her contract, which would mean the immediate termination of her employment without any benefits, as against the $11 million bonus paid to her predecessor when he stepped down. D, the veracity of evidence provided by the Chair of Australia Post to the Environment and Communications Legislation Committee during an estimates hearing on 9 November 2020. E, the current status of Ms. Holgate's employment with Australia Post. F, the issues surrounding the secret review of Australia Post by the Boston Consulting Group, leading to the introduction of changes to Australia Post's service model. G, the future of reductions to Australia Post's service model. And H, any other related matters. And I love that H one, politically. That means we can go hard on all the other things. But so what you see there is the first half, or a little bit more than the first half, two-thirds, is about the specific issue, and all that will come out. But then it gets into, it also includes the things that allude to why the former chairman, the man who actually approved the watches, when he was questioned about this in the Financial Review on the 24th of October, 2 days after she'd been assassinated politically, he said, I do think Christine has been caught up in some kind of wider play. And that's what we're starting to get even a greater sense of. So we knew, we suspected from the beginning that, you know, as the fact that she had shown Australia Post would be ideally suited to providing financial services, and that led to discussion about a bank. She was making herself an enemy of the banks. We knew that, but then there's this bigger privatisation agenda that was also behind this. It relates to why this current chairman was installed in the first place and why he would lie so blatantly to Parliament on the 9th of November, including about how he, forced her out, right? Because they're trying to claim she resigned and she didn't. She offered to resign, but they didn't accept her terms, and then claim she resigned anyway, right? And that's what that's going to come out. And once that truth is established, there's no actual reason, except for egg on Scott Morrison's face, why she shouldn't get her job back, right? But it'll also, the fact that it'll expose the bigger things going on as well. This can unravel a lot of things in terms of how government operates.
It's very interesting, isn't it, Robbie? And we see the inner workings of the government machine and how it throws its weight around, and never mind the truth. Secondly, the way that it stacks boards, and the Australia Post is a good example of a stacked board in my view. But thirdly, yep. and fundamentally, this question of the future of Australia Post, the future of banking, how those things align. Bearing in mind that in private sector banks are withdrawing their services, closing their branches all over the place, and leaving many parts of Australia unbanked or debanked, and Australia Post, of course, with its broad presence of local operators, would be an ideal alternative to provide and continue to provide the services that they do actually provide now on a commercial basis. So this is a really, really important thing. Now, I guess the question for me is it going to be a hearings and those sorts of things and submissions, or don't we know yet?
All right, stay tuned. So we have to see the Environment and Communications References Committee is yet to put up the details of the inquiry on its website. We just know the reporting date is late April. But there will definitely be submissions and definitely be hearings. The hearings are going to be the important part of this inquiry. I don't yet know how appropriate it is for the general public to participate with submissions. As soon as I know that, I'll put the word out, because if it's one of those inquiries where the general public should, I will strongly urge everyone to do so. Certainly, though, the licensed post offices, and there's 3,000 or 2,900 of them around Australia, they are all stakeholders of Australia Post, and they all deserve the right to make their own submission, and they can all say the same thing about how she transformed their organisation and as it affects them. Because for a long time before Christine Holgate took the reins, they were going broke, right? And it's funny, what I like about this story, Martin, is that I've always believed that if you can clear out vested interests in ideology, the decision-making of government as it relates to so many of its services can be pretty straightforward, right? And she came in as a total government outsider. She'd never worked in government before. She came in and she just thought, okay, here's the institution. How do we make it better? And there's this pressure to cut services, but she firmly believed, no, we need to provide services. We've got to grow the organization to be able to afford to do that, right? And then she did it. And she did it with this deal with the banks, but that was her intention for everything she did. That's what made the difference. But man, just with that adage, can-do attitude, she didn't know. She was picking daisies in a minefield. She did not know the vested interests that whose toes she was stepping on, right? And that she wandered into that 22 October hearing with a good news story, right? Profit increase during a recession, and she stepped on the mine, boom, blew up on her, right? And both sides were like, that's dealt with, that's done. And the outside, it was outside the political process, said, no. I mean, we played an important role in seeing it first, but the outside of the political process said, no. Once you have a sense of the truth, you're not going to get away with that. Now they've got a Senate inquiry. It's starting to dawn on them. They haven't got away with it.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, the reporting in the mainstream media is pretty limited on this. There was a thing in the Sydney Morning Herald I saw. So a lot of other people haven't referred to it at all, which I find interesting, right?
Yeah, I think the media's role was appalling from the get-go. See, if you look at what we found straight away when we first started looking at this, if you look at how the statements that people like Bob Catter and Barnaby Joyce made in Parliament within a month, if you look at the way Terry McCrann and Robert Gottliebson were reporting it pretty much from the beginning, it was just about paying attention. Anyone who paid attention saw, hang on, this has got nothing to do with what we were just told it was, right? As Angela Cramp said who's the executive director of the Licensed Post Office Group, said in a video with me, it ain't, whatever this is about, it ain't about bloody watches, right? That's what, it didn't take much to find that. Did the mainstream media bother? No. For weeks, they were presenting it as if she'd bought these watches in 2020 in the middle of the recession, when, of course, it had happened 2 years earlier. They weren't even asking a basic question. Why did an ambush in Parliament happen over something that happened 2 years earlier? Just really basic stuff.
Yep.
So it's the media that's got egg all over its face, or a large part of it. They should be reporting this much more widely. But it just goes to show, don't ever be defined by the media's perception of what's important, what's not, and what's true and what's not, right? Find out for yourself. Act on what you know to be true. Actually, the AFR had a report today too, Martin, and include one of those token cracks at us, the Citizens Party, like they did on the cash ban 2 years ago. Different Patrick Durkin this time. Just a little token crack at us, as if our identity is somehow undermines the importance of this campaign. Well, they can do that. They can stamp their feet on the sidelines as much as they like, right? The fact that remains is this went from a dead and buried political issue that no one in their right mind politically would touch, to now, thanks to the public getting behind it because we helped get the message out, something that's blown up in their face. And I use this analogy. You know, I talked the other day about politicians think in terms of a chess game. And it's terrible because they're thinking moves ahead, but, you know, most championship chess games don't actually end in checkmate because the player knows when he can't win and he stops, right? He just declares defeat. That's how politicians think. But as I said, these are our lives. This has real-world consequences. We've got to stop them thinking that way, right? And the beautiful thing about some of these minor party politicians, and I don't care from what party, but it's invariably a minor party politician who will take up an issue on principle, right? Because whatever party they're for, and this can apply to the Greens, Centre Alliance, One Nation, CADA, etc., they are not controlled by the vested interests that have sunk their claws into the two major parties, right? And even though many of those, the individual MPs in the two major parties are fully in agreement with the issue and they wish they could do it as well, they're constrained by that. And it takes the minor parties who always get about, you know, the political establishment would have you believe that they're the biggest spoilers in the world and they're a pain in the butt and they shouldn't be in there. Rubbish. They are the element that more often than not from any party. It's funny to see the Greens and One Nation working together on issues sometimes, right? Those are the element that allow the truth to come to the fore, because the other two, they play this political chess game and they will happily bury many, 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 many issues. So we have an interesting, you know, makeup to our parliament. You know, always be aware that that somehow reflects the general population, however imperfectly. But if we get engaged and take up these issues, we can make this difference.
Absolutely. And I just want to remind everybody about the concept of a public servant, right? A public servant, politicians, are there to serve the community, to serve the interests of Australia and Australians. They're not there to perpetuate their own party. They're not there just to dictate top down what we can and what we can't do. And I think the fundamental issue we have, Robbie, is that most politicians have lost the plot in terms of what their role is in society. And so occasionally, you know, when we make a fuss, we start reminding them that actually they are there to serve us, not the other way around.
Yep, no, for sure. You know, George Washington's departing speech as President of the United States, he warned against party politics. Now, parties are sort of natural formation. We're a party, but we're not in the Constitution, right? It's that if party comes first, politics breaks down. There will always be groupings around shared values and philosophies, and that's natural. But if it's about this idea of party coming first. We're seeing, look, there's another huge scandal in Parliament right now. That's also why the media is distracted. Why is it such a big scandal? Because politicians clearly put the party interests above the girls' interests.
Yeah.
right? And it blows up, eventually blows up in their face. And that's, you know, so that's just one that happens across the board. That's what we're chipping away at, but it comes down to the people. So hat, I don't have my hat on. If I had it, I'd take it off with you, right? It's the calls you guys make. So stand by, please stand by. We will have exciting updates. We will tell you how you can participate in this inquiry if that's appropriate. What I do encourage people to do, though, is keep spreading the word. We need to generate pressure from the outside. We did a video on our website that we linked to last time about called Taking on the Banks, the Truth About the Australia Post Party, Watch the Fair. That's the kind of thing we need to get out. We did a release yesterday, Martin, on why Katter and Hanson use this term lie in Parliament, which is very unparliamentary, and went after this chairman, especially Lucio Di Bartolomeo, because that goes to this privatisation agenda. There's more to come out about that. So what's this space, right? Because we'll be doing freedom of information and all kinds of stuff. The government is currently trying to hide a report from Parliament. So a lot of stuff that's going to come, it's going to come out in the hearing, but it can come out before that and be made much more aware of in the public, right? So that there's no one can hide from it. And that'll force the members of Parliament to raise it in the hearings as well anyway, right? So stay tuned for the details and act on them when you get them. Keep making sure your member of Parliament knows these developments. Share it widely on social media while we've got it. Facebook's back in love with us apparently, so get the message out. Use it and be very, very active while this inquiry is underway.
Absolutely, yes. Just to reinforce, share and like these posts, because if you can get the message out to other people, it creates some more momentum. The more momentum we have, the more chance we have of getting the right outcomes for Australia and Australians. And the critical thing to understand here, that the cornerstone discussion we should be having about this and will be having is, what is the future of the banking system? You know, how does Australia Post play into that? And how can we maximise the benefit for Australia and Australians? That is actually the cornerstone issue.
Absolutely. So have a look at that video. Like I said, it's called Taking on the Banks, the Truth About the Australia Post Party, Watch the Fair. And just a little hint, I can't tell you, I have to protect my sources, but I know that this channel and our discussion on Monday went to some very, very interesting places and was shared by some very, very interesting people. It got attention. So, you know, if you're part of the Walk the World subscriber base, just revel in that, right? You're watching it, you're sharing it, etc., and you're acting on it, making phone calls. Very much made a difference this week.
Absolutely. Power to the people, Robbie. Power to the people. And I look forward to picking up the conversation as it develops. Thanks for your time today.
Yes. Thanks, man.
Take care. Bye-bye.